Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Doctor, a friend of mine for Thanksgiving, they flew his son in from out of state. He took the red eye, got into like O'Hare at 3 a.m, didn't feel well, tested for COVID, had COVID, so they had to cancel the big family get together for Thanksgiving for him. And the question is, in that scene, somebody's just flown in and they test positive for COVID, what should they do next? Think about that. I'll tell you what they did. They put him on a plane and sent him back home because they couldn't come to the Thanksgiving. But that's they're in a kind of a between a rock and a hard place there. What advice do you have for people in those circumstances?
Yeah, I think ideally in that situation, the son would have spent the next few days by himself somewhere. Getting over the symptomatic part of the infection. Putting him back on a plane, unfortunately, exposed probably hundreds, if not thousands, of people to the potential of getting COVID. The best thing would have been to isolate him, and if they had an extra room or somewhere where he could stay, rather than putting him back on an airplane. So, you know, this is part of the issue right now. You know, we're not in the lockdown phase anymore, but we still have to take this thing seriously. It's still here. Lots of people are still getting infected. And, you know, John, like we talk about, we're still losing 300 Americans every day, you know, in this country. Think about that. You know, this is like three times the death rate of a bad flu season, and it's still from COVID. So although it's nothing like a year ago when Omicron arrived here, and, you know, we think about last winter, we were losing up to 2,000 people a day who were dying to COVID. You know, it's 300. It seems like a lot less. But we got to think about what that means relatively to a normal year when we don't have something that's killing 300 people a day like COVID is. So we're not done.
I was going to hire an electrician, and I will, but he says, I can't come right now. I've got RSV. This is a middle-aged man. And he said, guess what? This is tough. He's suffering. The point being, so then he's not going to come to our house, either because he's ill or because he doesn't want to infect us. Is RSV as infectious as COVID? And do we take the same precautions as COVID?
RSV, like COVID, like influenza, is a respiratory virus. There is some difference in the way that it is transmitted, but really not enough to make a difference for us when we think about this. If somebody knows he has RSV, I will compliment this man for putting off the work to say, let me get better. I don't want you to get sick, and I don't feel well enough to come. So respiratory viruses are respiratory viruses. It's the same thing. If you're sick, stay away from other people. You really should stay home from work, as much as I hate to say it. I mean, particularly, you know, in my world in healthcare, we're short staffed, and we have staff continually having to call off of work because they're sick with one of these respiratory viruses. But that is the correct thing to do.
Yeah. And I guess wear a mask when you do emerge. I mean, if you think, OK, I'm better now, but I guess a mask would make as much sense for any of these viruses, the flu included, right?
That's right. That's right. You know, and that's what we learned, you know, over almost 3 years. And that would be an appropriate thing to do. But I would say if you are sick and you have one of these viruses, even with a mask, unless it is an urgent situation, you really want to stay away from other people.
New subvariants, where are we on that? You mentioned Omicron, which I almost forgot about. COVID-19 wasn't over Omicron then, right? And then we got Omicron. Kind of walk me through where we are right now.
Yeah, so now we're beyond the original Omicron that we had last Thanksgiving. Boy, John, isn't it amazing to think it was only last Thanksgiving when we first heard about this virus that was then named Omicron? It's a year. It feels like a lot more than a year to me. But thankfully, what we're dealing with right now are descendants of Omicron. As the virus mutates, and that it's a coronavirus, and coronaviruses are is always mutating, not just COVID, but that whole family. Some of these new mutations become important because they become even more infectious than what we currently have. So what we're starting to see is another transition. Remember, we've been talking about BA4 and BA5 for several months. Now we're getting into some other letters. Some of these variants actually have the letter Q in it. And I won't trouble our listeners, John, with all the different permutations of these letters. But we're seeing a whole bunch of these new mutations, these new variants. The good news is nothing seems to be worse than what we've experienced with BA4 and BA5. So though we're seeing a change now, when we look over in the entire country at which variants we're seeing, we are seeing a change, but we're not seeing anything that's more virulent, meaning that it's causing more severe illness. So that's good news that we're seeing that, but there's still plenty of people who are getting COVID out there. And this will be my weekly reminder that if you are one of the folks out there who have not yet gotten this new booster, the so-called bivalent booster that's readily available at all the drugstores, all the pharmacies around town, various clinics, please consider getting it. Overall in the country right now, we're still under 15% of the eligible population.
Yeah, what's up with that, said one of my listeners.
Booster.
Yeah, one of my listeners said, hey, ask the doctor why only 15% of Americans have gotten the bivalent vaccine. Ugh, says 815. 847 says, my 13-year-old has never been sick, but then they described symptoms, and the doctor said it looks like allergies. In November, what does your doctor think? And somebody else asked, did I understand the doctor correctly? Once you no longer have symptoms, you're no longer contagious. Tuesdays, we visit with Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. He's the chief medical officer there. Doc, how quickly can we plow through some of these questions from our listeners?
Yeah, well, I think we can go pretty quickly. First of all, I think we can ask our listeners why those who have not availed themselves yet of this vaccine, why not? Please get it. It's safe. I got it. My whole family has received it.
Here's the answer to that question. It's because they feel fine. They've already been through this. They've either been boosted or they've had COVID and they're not sick right now and they don't feel the urgency. That's why.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. But please get it. Get it before Christmas. You know, be boosted. Be as protected as you can be from getting sick. Yes, this will not necessarily keep you from getting infected with COVID. But in the event you do get infected with COVID, it will keep you from getting sick. And I don't want to have to take care of you in our hospital with COVID.
Think about that. John Williams, I understand the doctor correctly. Once you are no longer with symptoms, you're no longer contagious with COVID. Is that still true?
It's probably not 100% true, but the recommendation is once you're asymptomatic, you can get back out there. So you can. I can't say for sure, though, that you might not be symptomatic. So, I mean, you might not be infectious. So if you know you're going to be around people who are at risk, it's worth wearing a mask.
As I recall, this was the metric we last talked about last year, was 5 days after the onset, once the symptoms have subsided, you're okay to go back out. Does that feel about right to you? It was 10 and they dialed it down to 5.
Correct. And I think so. And I think a lot of that had to do with some economic choices. We needed people to go back to work.
Yeah. My 13-year-old is never sick. He has this constant congestion and cough. No fever. Been taking OTC meds for a week. COVID tests were negative. The doctor said it could be allergies. But in November, what do you think?
Well, it could be allergies. There's still some allergens around. However, if this child has never had allergies at this time, I would be certain that it is not RSV. There are other viruses that are out there. The good news is this child is not sick. So that's terrific. And hopefully over the next couple of days, whatever this is will just resolve and you can get back to normal life.
please ask the doctor, how do you test for RSV? Is it like COVID?
There is actually a test similar to the COVID test that will test for RSV. You're going to need to go to a clinic to get that done, but it can be tested for.
I mean, shy of that, how do you know you got it? What do you do about it, right? I mean, everybody found out that they had COVID or didn't, and then we had the vaccine for it and the boosters. It doesn't seem like we have the tests or the vaccines for RSV.
There is not yet a vaccine for RSV. There's a lot of work going on. There are two good candidates that are being tested right now. No vaccine. Good news, though, for RSV. Unless you're a little one, a real little one, or you're very elderly, people do fine with RSV. Think of it as a cold, sometimes a bad cold.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you don't get tested for it. You know, just stay home, have your chicken soup, get some extra rest, you'll be fine.
That's Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the Chief Medical Officer and sportscaster at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital.
Go USA, John. I want to see them in the knockout stage. It'll be great.
I agree. Thanks, Doc.
Be well. Bye-bye.